SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales at sbs.com.au.
Sie hören SBS German.
I knew very little about the Dreyfus family's history, and when I asked my father, he couldn't tell me.
Herzlich willkommen zu Im Gespräch am Donnerstagabend mit mir, Trudy Latour. Was Sie gerade hörten, ist Ella Dreyfus in ihrem Dokumentarfilm Dreyfus 3. In diesem ersten Teil meines zweiteiligen Interviews mit der australischen Künstlerin sprechen wir ganz intim über Identität, Familie, Geschichtsverarbeitung und Kunst. Ella Dreyfus wuchs in einer jüdischen Familie in Australien auf und wusste wohl, dass ihr Vater durch einen Kindertransport aus Deutschland dem Holocaust entkam, hat sich aber lange nicht viel damit auseinandergesetzt, da er selbst darüber nie sprechen wollte. Als aber das Interesse erstmal geweckt war, gab es kein Halten mehr. Sie machte sich zusammen mit ihrem Onkel George und ihrem Cousin Jonathan, die Nummer 2 und 3 von Dreyfus 3, auf die Suche nach ihren Wurzeln und produzierte einen Dokumentarfilm mit eigenen Reflexionen, Interviews, Archivmaterial wie Familienfotos, Bildern von der Installation ihrer Kunstobjekte und Musik, komponiert von George Dreyfus und bearbeitet und eingespielt von Jonathan Dreyfus mit Amy Anderson und Tori Newberry. Davon hören wir auch einige kurze Ausschnitte. Und da sich Ella in der deutschen Sprache nur bedingt unterhalten kann, sprechen wir in diesem Fall Englisch.
Maybe we can just say guten Tag in German.
Ja, natürlich. Guten Tag. Wie geht es Ihnen?
Sehr gut. Ich freue mich, Sie kennenlernen zu dürfen. Ella Dreyfus.
Hallo.
We're going to speak today about your film Dreyfus 3, which deals with identity, which is an important subject matter to all of us, but maybe especially to you, since you've worked on this as a visual artist before, and now in a much more personal manner, in a new medium. So, you knew your parents were German Jews?
My father only.
Your father only. Okay. Yeah, your mother was Jewish as well, however.
Yes. Correct, yes.
But you knew about the German background. However, now you've decided to go more in depth there and really find out what happened. What piqued your interest at that time, since you've lived with a certain knowledge all your life? What made you go out to Germany, find out more?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And I lived with a lot of ignorance, I would say, for a long time. My father, of course, we knew he was German and he spoke German to his mother, Hilda. And me and most of my siblings took German as a subject in high school, the language, because we somehow, I think, felt it would make us a bit closer to our father, which I don't think it did. But we just knew nothing. We were very ignorant about his past. All we knew is we had a German father born in Wuppertal. Closed the door. So over the years, I would say that we just all lived in happy ignorance about that past. But I think it had a kind of a black cloud hung over us. And I found as I got older and did more reading, and especially reading my Uncle George's books, I started to learn more about our family history. And I had never known really where they came from. I had never been there myself. My father didn't take us. I mean, growing up in Australia, so many people come from somewhere else and they were always doing the roots trip, you know, and the parents would take them to the village and the town in Greece or Italy or Lebanon or, you know, Czechoslovakia, wherever it was. And we didn't go, and we didn't know, and we didn't really ask very much either. So fortunately, my uncle George, who's still alive today with us, 94 in Melbourne, he has done all the research and he's collected the pictures and he's written slowly in his books more about our history. And as I got older, into my 40s especially, that's really when it started to take hold. And I had avoided going to Germany. I'd really avoided Europe, all of Europe, until 49, when I was speaking at a conference for my PhD degree over in Budapest in Hungary.
Oh, they forced you to go.
No, I wanted to go. I thought it was like a big challenge to myself, Trudy. I thought, you're here. You're in Europe. You're in Budapest. How far is that from Berlin? Not very far. Get on a train. So I did, you know, Budapest and then Vienna and then Prague. And then I went to Berlin on my own just for 6 days. And you know, it might sound like nothing, but it was huge. It was a huge experience, and I can tell you what happened there. But anyway, after that, I started to, as an artist, started to really think deeply about how to incorporate this lost history. Mm. And I first went to Paris in 2013 as a resident at the Cité Internationale des Arts. And there I began my little tentative explorations into the Dreyfus history and the Dreyfus name and where we came from. So it kind of snowballed from 2013 onwards.
Right. So in your 40s, you found out more by reading your uncle's books, who's also in the film. Did your uncle never talk about it in your family while your father was still alive, or he never brought it up because he knew your father had this trauma? Or
no, my father and his brother lived in different cities, Melbourne yeah. and Sydney. We didn't see very much of George. We really hardly knew him. Occasionally he would come and visit in Sydney, and he was generally in Sydney for one of his musical events, performances or such things. And so we only saw him as this kind of distant, eccentric uncle.
Right.
We didn't have any proper communications with him.
It's really interesting because your dad and your uncle, they came out together on the Kindertransport, didn't they?
They did.
So they started off in Australia together, and then they seem to have taken totally different ways of dealing with the past. Like your uncle, you know, researched it and went back, and your dad never wanted to know. Can you explain to yourself how that could have happened, that they took such different ways to deal with it?
Well, I think there are a number of explanations, and I just wish my father was here. He died, 24 years ago now. It's so painful to know that you can't just grab him and sit him down and grill him. But look, George went back, I would say, the first time, and he said this in the film and also in a lot of the other footage we shot that didn't make it into the film, that he really went back for very practical reasons in his early 20s, because the German government was offering scholarships if Jews who survived the war could prove that they were that their careers were disadvantaged or stymied and, you know, paused by the war, then they could get reparations, they could get the scholarships to go. So basically he went back to Europe on a scholarship.
In 1955 or so?
Yes, 55.
That is earlier than I thought that was possible. Not many Jews did that, did they?
No. And in the film, you might recall, I do ask him, what was it like when you went back in 55? Mm. Was there any anti-Semitism? And he's very, very clear. Nobody talked to me about being Jewish. Nobody said a thing. And we know that that's kind of wacky and surreal.
No, that's
what
happened.
But it's quite possible. It is.
Of course. Then not only some Jewish people didn't want to talk about it anymore, Germans didn't want to talk about it anymore either.
Well, that's true. That's true. I was shocked when I heard him say that, but you're quite right. And I do know that's true. It was kind of swept under the carpet and, you know, it was just too hard for
traumatized. Everybody was traumatized, and there was no real dealing with it on a psychological level in those days, I think. I don't know whether nowadays governments would install some more of a, you know, an option to work on these issues, because it affected not only one generation, but at least as far as our generation, you know, there's this intergenerational trauma that you also deal with in your film that shows that it still affects the people who came after, because there's something that has not been cleared up. That's how I understand your documentary as well, when you put in the signs that you also used for your art exhibition, I believe, the felt lettering with your name, the name of your family, and just stating, we are Jewish.
Yes.
This shows to me that you want to probably show also to younger people, because it looks a bit like a kindergarten sort of lettering, right? To younger people, look at this, ask about it, you know, let's find out. Is
that's
that
right. Yes, no, that's a very good understanding of it, Trudy. And I first started making those felt letters in Australia and using them in English in 2008. And I took the letters with me to Paris in 2013. And I did something preceding what I did in Germany, which was to reclaim the Dreyfus name, which obviously is a French and German name, and there's a long history in France of that name. And I said, je m'appelle Dreyfus, je suis juif. So I was entering Paris and saying, that's my name and I'm a Jew. And I was very tentative, and it was very nerve-wracking going running out into the streets in the day and the night and putting up my letters and photographing them and having interactions with people. But when I went to Germany 4 years ago now, I was an artist in residence at the Kunsthaus in Wiesbaden. And it was fantastic. And I really went to Wiesbaden because that's the home of my great-grandparents, which is featured in the film. And I decided to make a big statement back in Germany because it was really my first proper time there, to spend 3 months there, and to claim back the names of my family and the fact that we were Jewish. So putting our Jewish identity back into real places where they had lived, where they had walked, where they had been part of the society, and then obliterated and annihilated. So I named them this time, and I said, my name is Richard, my name is Richard, or my name is Paula or Ida. So naming the three generations, four actually, ending with myself, and putting myself in there as well in my very last photo shoot. And it felt like a real statement saying, well, we're back. You know, we're back here.
We are not exterminated.
You didn't get all of us. And more than that, you know, we want to be back here. And I was so happy to only have good experiences in Wiesbaden during that residency, and in Berlin recently too, because the terror really lived with me for most of my life. And I would say that the silence and lack of knowledge caused a child and a teenager and a woman in her 20s and 30s not knowing caused more terror than it need have.
Makes you more anxious. It's very brave of you to then take that on in such a forceful way, and also move out into another medium after having been an artist and having won all these awards in photography and other visual art forms. So why did you choose to do this as a film this time, your very personal identity?
Well, there's one really strong reason why, and that is because my Uncle George is 94 and I wanted to film him and to see him and to hear him. So making a still image or a more conceptual artwork doesn't really cut it anymore. I actually wanted to record him visually on the film medium, hear his voice, and listen to his storytelling. So I think that probably was the impetus to make a film rather than any other art form. And I jumped in the deep end. I mean, I'm a photographer, so I've got the visual skills, but obviously moving images is another visual language altogether. And I am very pleased that I've worked with great professional, filmmakers on this.
Wir hören ein Gespräch mit Ella Dreyfus über ihren Dokumentarfilm Dreyfus 3. Gemeinsam mit ihrem Onkel George in Melbourne und ihrem Cousin Jonathan in Berlin machte sie sich auf die Suche nach der Geschichte ihrer Familie und findet so ihren eigenen Weg, wieder eine Verbindung zu Deutschland herzustellen.
But really, to record George speaking, and I find with Uncle George, it's the way back to my father, and it's the only way back, just to see him. And they are very different people, but just that visual of body language and movement and voice. And also to hear his music. He's a composer of great renown in Australia and has performed in Germany and other countries as well. And I'm so happy that I could incorporate his original music.
It's wonderful. The soundtrack is really wonderful. I thought you might mention that as one of the issues that is an advantage to have this art form filmmaking, because you've got this soundscape, which is really quite something. You know, you don't only have the beautiful music of your uncle, but you've got nature sounds in it and little scary electronic sounds. And then in the background, somebody sings a song. And I'm glad you told me to wear my headphones to listen to it, because there's so many different layers, but none of the layers disturb each other. Like usually when I watch a film and somebody sings in the background, which is not a pop song, but something you're supposed to listen to, I find that very disturbing. But the whole film has such a slow spacing, or such a thoughtful combination of these sounds and the images and the visual art that also turns up in the film, of course, your signs and the interview bits, that I really admired that. And how was that for you to work with your uncle and I think with your cousin as well on the music scheme? Did you leave them to do what they wanted to do, or did you have big fights about what should happen?
Yeah, no, it's very, very much a collaboration of my cousin. And my cousin Jonathan, he's the third of the Dreyfus Dry. So eins, zwei, drei, eins is Uncle George in his generation. I'm the second generation, zwei. And then Jonathan, who is George's son, George became a father again at age 60. So that means Jonathan is in a generation below me, even though he's my cousin. And Jonathan, like his father, is a composer. And he now lives in Berlin, as you saw in the film, and is making a career and a life as a composer for film, for advertising, for bands, for all manner of things, choirs. And he's a really skilled interpreter of his father's music. So he and George wrote some music together in Melbourne. Some of the music of George's is also from previous times. And then in Berlin, Jonathan and his team, his wife Amy Anderson and a couple of other musicians and sound designers, they kind of crafted up George's music into a soundtrack for the film, and it was very much left in their hands to do it, because I'm not a composer, and I obviously we had some, you know, meetings and commentaries and things along the way, but really it's Jonathan's expertise with his father's music. And I'll tell you something funny, I find myself singing these songs that Amy his wife is a beautiful singer. And that's her voice you can hear in the film. And I just find myself in my daily life, and I'm going, I must ask Jonathan to turn this into a whole album or something like that, because it's beautiful music and it's really subtle as well. So I'm glad you picked that up.
That's the word I was looking for, subtle. It's subtle in the background, but you still hear it's still there, and it adds to the whole, the feel of it, you know. It's a very intimate feel, the whole thing. It's you're telling your intimate personal family story, but at the same time it's the story of this century in a way, you know. It's so important for so many people, and I'm always so disappointed that we never learn from this, that, you know, there's another war starting now where people just commit genocide for some, you know, other reasons, in the end economic reasons. And we have, that's why I think we have to tell these stories. And a word that comes to mind now that I'm yabbering on is, you mentioned bridge, that you want to build a bridge. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yes, thank you. Something you mentioned before when we were discussing, you know, post-war silence on all fronts in Germany and elsewhere, you know, the impact of that war was just... You know, it was huge for everybody involved and everyone who survived it. And, of course, it's no wonder. And you said something about, I wonder if people can face it now and how Germany deals with it. And I think that my film is an incredibly positive example, because my film is funded by the German government, and they are funding this entire year-long festival called 1700 Years of Jewish Life in Germany. So me as a, you know, German Australian, with this tiny little history of, you know, the two brothers escaping on the Kinder transport. I've been funded by your government, my government, I'm a citizen, to tell this family story and to tell it in my own way. They didn't ask me to write a history book or fact check or, you know, it's really been up to me how I would like to present this. And in effect, the film is made with the German government funding for Germany, for the German people. And I'm just so thrilled that we had a premiere in Berlin and so many people came and we put it online and people could watch it. And very soon in May, actually, I'll be showing it again in the Jüdisches Museum Westfalen in Dorsten. And they're going to show it one evening and I'll get up at 4 a.m. here and do a live Q&A with them. And that's going to continue, that it will get shown in Germany. And I hope to show it in schools. And, you know, to me, this is the bridge building. This is the possibility of reconciliation, of understanding each other, of you know, allowing new generations to learn what happened to their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and vice versa, to draw links between Australia and Germany, which I think is quite feasible.
I thought there were no traces of my family left anywhere in Germany. But here they are.
Wir hörten den ersten Teil eines zweiteiligen Interviews mit der jüdisch-australischen Künstlerin und Dokumentarfilmmacherin Ella Dreyfus, die ihre deutsch-jüdische Vergangenheit wiederentdeckt hat und zusammen mit ihrem Onkel George und ihrem Cousin Jonathan darüber einen Dokumentarfilm gemacht hat, den man am 5. Mai in Melbourne im Goethe-Institut sehen kann und hinterher auch mit der Filmemacherin diskutieren. Und ich bin Trudi Latour bei SBS Radio in deutscher Sprache.
Wir sind SBS German. Weitere Inhalte finden Sie auf sbs.com.au/German.